Do you need help protecting your finances as you enter retirement? David Dickens of KC Financial Advisors has got you covered. Welcome to the Cover Your Assets KC podcast.
Thanks for joining us on the Cover Your Assets KC podcast. I'm Walter Storholt alongside David Dickens, President and Wealth Advisor at KC Financial Advisors, serving you throughout Kansas City with an office in Overland Park. Check us out online at coveryourassetskc.com. David, I hear you've been playing a lot of golf lately. The weather's been nice for that, hasn't it?
It has been really nice. This has been a fantastic early summer in Kansas City. So yeah, it's been pretty nice. And if I'm going to spend it outside, I'm either mowing my own grass or I'm playing golf.
Yeah, you've either got a lawnmower in your hands or a golf club, one of the two, if you're outdoors. That's not a bad policy through which to live life right there. If you're going to be outdoors, have one of those two things on standby. That's fantastic. Well, we've got a great show on the way today, David. We're diving into the nitty and gritty about annuities. And I think this is such a, we live in a controversial world right now, right? So this is a controversial financial topic, seems apropos to talk about it. I've been in settings before, David, with family members where, you know, we start talking about retirement and those kinds of things. I know I go to some really lively parties, but we start talking about retirement or something like that. Or people ask, like, you know, what I do, people I interview, folks like you about financial planning and advising. And inevitably, the conversation of annuities comes up. And it's so interesting because I get two very polarizing reactions. One that sounds like this, oh my God. And then two that are like, oh yeah, we got one, baby. You know, like, it's like, so they're either celebrating or they're like, don't bring up that word to me. Why do you get that experience as well as a financial advisor? Why is there this like polar opposites world when it comes to annuities?
I get that exact response. And if you're truly advising people, you should be agnostic to what products they own in their plan, as long as they fit the plan. So I don't care whether somebody has or wants an annuity. What is important to me is that they understand what's available. Annuity is kind of like a hammer or a saw. You're trying to build a retirement house, let's just say. You got stocks, you got bonds, you got CDs, you got cash, you've got annuities, and there are four different types I want to discuss today. But they're neither good nor bad. They're not right for everybody. They're not wrong for everybody. But once you understand them, you can go, oh, I get it. So that's kind of like this. And then you can put it into your own frame and decide whether it's a good thing for you or not. But to dismiss something out of hand, I think, is a silly practice in most areas of your life and certainly in your financial life. So let's not dismiss it out of hand. Let's take 15 or 20 minutes today and try to understand it. Hopefully you take a couple of good notes and you know what to ask your advisor next time you meet with them. Or if you want to come in and talk to us, you'll have some good questions ready to go so that you figure out, is this a good thing for me or not?
Like with anything, we've got to have the right tools for the job. And at the end of the day, they're just tools. They may just do a certain job better. So I think the big question to answer today as well, David, is going to be, there are different types of annuities. I know that leads to a lot of the confusion. It's like having, so I was taking apart a handicap ramp at our house over the past couple of weeks. It's been quite a long project, this humongous ramp, and it had screws holding the whole thing together, this massive wooden handicap ramp. But the previous person or whoever built this ramp used three different types of screws. And so I'm having to like constantly switch different, you know, drill bit heads between the star drill bit, the square drill bit, and then the normal Phillips head. And let me tell you, I would come away with that just feeling like I hate square drill bits. The square, I'll never use it ever again. I don't know if it's rational because I've heard that they're actually pretty good bits to use a square. Star may be the best. I liked the stars. They were always gripped and stripped right out. They were perfect. The squares just gave me headaches the whole time. But it may have just been because I wasn't using the right sized bit to get the screws out, so it was slipping a lot. It just may have been operator error. But I've now developed this hatred for the square bit, and I kind of view that as why people don't, maybe they don't understand the differences between why there are different tools and maybe don't have the right way to, the right application for them, those kinds of things, and that can get you frustrated. So not to go too far down a tangent, but my understanding, there's four different types of annuities, and I think some clarification on each one would definitely be helpful.
Yeah, so we're going to tackle those today, and hopefully I won't get into too deep into the weeds, but some of these are fairly complex investment types. So to have a little bit more understanding is going to be better than a little bit less. So why don't we kick off with the first type, which is an immediate annuity. So just to tell you where we're going, there are immediate annuities, there are fixed annuities, there are fixed indexed annuities. And then something I'm not going to spend very much time on is a variable annuity. So those are the four types. An immediate annuity is something that everybody listening to this podcast is intimately familiar with because you have one, and it's called Social Security. So that's just a form of an immediate annuity. If your company offers you a pension when you're done working, that's the same thing as an immediate annuity. Here's how it works. Well, in fact, Walter, you tell me how it works. When you're age 66 and you're going to retire and you're going to start taking Social Security, what happens? They start sending you a check.
Immediately.
It's an immediate annuity.
And I was ready for a trick question there, David.
How often are they going to send that to you, Walter?
What is it, monthly?
They're going to send it to you monthly.
Okay, good.
And what happens if you die 4 months after starting to receive Social Security?
It's gone. I don't get it anymore.
It's gone. Now, if you happen to be married, it gets just slightly more complicated. Your spouse either gets their Social Security or yours, whichever is higher, with an immediate annuity or with a pension. Let's say you have a pension in addition to your Social Security, and you start that at 65. What does the pension company start doing monthly at age 65?
Sending you checks as well, just like Social Security.
Yeah. Exactly. And if you happen to die 3 or 4 months into your retirement, what happens to that pension?
I'm going to guess, since it's kind of a trend here, it goes away.
It goes away. Unless you said, hey, keep paying my spouse. And if you do that, they're going to pay you a little bit less each month because they don't know how long you're going to live. But they know that they have to cover 2 lives worth of longevity. So that's an immediate annuity. And all you're doing, if you want an immediate annuity, you're going to give a life insurance company a chunk of money. And what they're going to do is pay you back plus interest as long as you live. If you live to 116, they're going to keep paying you monthly for as long as you live. And if you tell them, hey, I want you to keep paying as long as either my spouse or me is living, they'll go, okay, we'll pay you a little bit less each month, but we'll cover 2 lives instead of one. So an immediate annuity is just that. It's not good or it's bad. If you get one and you die a year from now and you said, just pay me, well, that's not so good because you gave an insurance company a big chunk of money and you only got 1 year's worth of payments. But if you give them a big chunk of money and you live to 96, well, they weren't expecting you to live to 96. They were expecting you to live to kind of your mid-80s. So you actually got the better end of that deal. What you're trying to solve with this is the uncertainty of not knowing how long you're going to live. And you want to take a piece of your retirement money and say, hey, I want somebody else to handle that risk of how long I'm going to live. Just pay me this monthly income as long as I do live. That's an immediate annuity. I've got a 73-year-old client. She got one about 8 years ago. But her deal was she had no heirs. She had nobody to leave this money to. She was just concerned. She wanted the biggest monthly amount of income she could get, so and that she didn't want to outlive it. So an immediate annuity happened to be a good solution for a piece of her retirement money. It doesn't fit everybody, but it's a tool out there, and you should know that it's available to you if you want one. That's an immediate annuity.
Pretty simple to understand annuity number one. It's like the water fountain. You push the button and it starts spitting out water. It happens right away. There's no delay unless it's a broken water fountain, but you get the idea. All right, that one makes sense, David. I'm sure they get a little bit more complex as we go.
Well, they do, but the next one is even easier.
Oh, good.
So it's a fixed annuity, and that is analogous to a CD that you could walk into any bank or credit union across America and just get an investment. So the couple of things we know for sure about a CD, for instance, it's issued by a bank or credit union.
Right.
It pays a fixed rate of
interest.
It's for a specific period of
time,
usually 1 to 5 years. And Walter, is there a penalty for early withdrawal with a CD?
I think so, yes. I remember when I had CDs as a kid, I think they're my mom being very clear that now, well, when you put this $100 away, you can't touch it for a year. So I'm going
to
say yes.
Exactly right. So the bank is just saying, hey, we're making a commitment to you. You make a commitment to us. You can't have the money back for this period of time. A fixed annuity is analogous to a CD in that it's a fixed rate obligation issued and guaranteed by the issuing insurance company. A CD is guaranteed by the FDIC or the NCUA if it's a credit union. A fixed annuity is guaranteed by the insurance company that issued it to you. So you get a fixed rate of interest for a fixed period of time. There is a penalty for early withdrawal, bigger than what you're going to have on a CD. But with most fixed annuities, you could go get 10% of the money you put in each year without any penalty. So let's say you have a $100,000 fixed annuity. And in year two, you say, oh, I need 10 grand, but I don't want to pay a penalty. And the good news for you is that contract likely has verbiage that says you can come get $10,000 or 10% of that money one time each year without any penalty. So there's that little extra. And then typically they pay a little bit higher interest rate than a CD. So here's a specific example. I had a client that was looking for an alternative to her maturing CD. She had a CD at a local bank, and she said, well, hey, Dave, what's a better idea? So we just looked around from 1 year to 5 years. And what we found in her case was that if she wanted a 1 year or a 2 year maturity, the CD was a better yield. But if she was willing to go 3 or 4 or 5 years, the fixed annuity was a better rate. So what we did was make a rate decision based on how long she was willing to lock up her money. What she chose was the 4-year fixed annuity because it had a significantly higher interest rate, and she got access to the money if she were ever to need it. So that's a fixed annuity. It's basically a CD lookalike, but it's issued and guaranteed by the insurance company that issues it. Super simple, no bells and whistles. I've never seen one with a fee. There may be some out there, but I've never seen one. So it's just a totally plain vanilla, relatively short-term investment that pays you a rate of interest for a fixed period of time.
All right, so the first two, relatively easy to wrap our heads around, the immediate annuity and the fixed annuity. We have two types left. What's next on the list, David?
So the next one is called a fixed indexed annuity or an equity-linked annuity.
Even just the name got a little more complicated.
It did. And this is probably the most common type of annuity that's out there. And it has a lot of add-on bells and whistles. And so what I'm going to do is describe to you a plain vanilla fixed indexed annuity, because frankly, that's the type that fits most of the clients that I work with that have an annuity. And probably 30% of the people I work with have some sort of annuity product in their retirement portfolio. So this is similar to a fixed annuity, except that the interest that you earn isn't a fixed rate. It's actually tied to how a particular market index performed. Okay, so stick with me here. They usually last for, say, 6 to 10 years. So you're making a commitment. There is a penalty for early withdrawal, a significant penalty for early withdrawal. But after that penalty is over, you can move that money anywhere you want, into stocks, bonds, CD, another indexed annuity, without any penalty. And typically, these come without any fees as well. No ongoing fee to it. So the other main benefit here, and I'm going to give an example, hopefully a fairly easy example, is that in a year when the stock market goes up, you're going to earn interest. Stock market goes down, your stock investments, your mutual funds are going to go down in value, but the indexed annuity can't go down in value during any year. That's what you're really trying to get with this indexed annuity. You're giving up some of the upside of being in a, let's say, a stock mutual fund. You're giving up a benefit. Why? Because it can't go down in value in any given year.
Protection, some sort of protection.
Exactly. You're paying for some protection, and protection has a cost. So here's an example. This isn't a particular client of mine, but the example is drawn from something I've seen lots and lots of times. So you change jobs you've got a, and I'm using round numbers here, so a $500,000 401k. You're going to roll over, in this case, $250,000 into an IRA, a brokerage account, where you're going to do stocks, bonds, mutual funds, etc. But the other half of that 401k, you're going to roll over into an indexed annuity. Why? Because you want some downside protection. And you know that your stock mutual funds don't give you that. So it's still an IRA. You've now split your IRA into two different pieces. And for tax purposes, it's still an IRA. It's just invested in this indexed annuity. So this indexed annuity doesn't offer a fixed rate. Most of them do, but I'm going to assume this one doesn't. But what it does is it allows you to earn interest based on how the Standard & Poor's 500 does. And in this example, you get 50% of what the S&P does each year, except that if the S&P 500 goes down, you earn zero. So year one, you've got $250,000 invested into this indexed annuity, and the S&P 500 is up 10%. Had a pretty good year. Your indexed annuity only goes up 5%, right? Because you're getting 50% of the gain. So your $250,000 is now worth $262,500. Okay? So the next year, second year, the S&P 500, the stock market, goes up 12%. Awesome. Your indexed annuity goes up 6% because you're getting 50% of the gain. So now your $262,500 goes up to $278,250. So a couple of nice years of gains. Your original $250,000 is now worth $278,000 after 2 years. But in year three, the market goes down. It wasn't a horrible year, but the market went down 10%. What you know is that your stock mutual funds also went down 10%. And which just about wipes out the gains from the first 2 years. But with the indexed annuity, it started at $278,250. Since the market went down, it earned zero that year. So it finishes the year at $278,000. And then in year four, depends on what the market does, but if it goes up, you're not starting from a lower value. You're starting from that $278,000 value. So what you're doing is giving up some of the upside for taking none of the downside. I don't know of an advisor who would recommend that you put 70 or 80 or 90 or 100% of your retirement dollars in something like that. But if you find yourself to be 64 or 67 or 69 and you're a little bit risk averse and you say, I've got a number of clients that say, Dave, I think I'm getting too old for this. I mean, when the market goes down 34% from COVID,
yeah,
in 5 weeks, they're kind of thinking, I'm getting too old for this. And in that case, an indexed annuity might be a tool that we could use in their portfolio for a piece of their IRA or for a piece of their non-IRA. The annuity company doesn't care, but to give them some downside protection. Hopefully that was fairly instructive. I went through some numbers, but it makes more sense when you throw some numbers at it, but hopefully as you're listening to this, that made some sense to you. The other takeaway I want you to have here is that different companies offer different terms. So if you're thinking, you know, that indexed annuity thing kind of sounded interesting to me, I'm going to check that out. What you want to make sure you do is shop amongst life insurance companies, indexed annuity companies, because they offer different terms. And you want to find the terms that are most suited for what you're trying to build in your retirement portfolio. Some have zero fees. Some charge as much as 1% fees a year. And what you're going to want to know is, what am I getting for that 1% fee? There are some that I know of that instead of offering 50% of the S&P 500 every year, they offer 35% of the S&P 500 each year. So you'll either want to do a good job of shopping around, or you'll get a guide. A lot of times we refer to those as advisors, but you'll get an advisor to help you shop the market. Dig through all the detail and all the weeds and figure out, for what you're trying to accomplish, which company and which product makes the most sense for you. So that was the third kind. And the fourth kind, which I'm going to spend about 2 minutes on, is called a variable annuity. And a variable annuity is an annuity product where they have smashed together insurance and mutual fund investing into one place. And anytime you smash too many things into one place, your fees tend to go up. And in this case, they go up a lot. So if you've seen Ken Fisher on the news, he has a lot of advertisements. I hate annuities. That guy, well, he's talking about variable annuities because their fees are somewhere between 3 and 4% a year. So let's just say you put $100,000 into a variable annuity at 4% fees a year. After 10 years, you've paid $40,000 in fees. They better have some really good benefits if you're going to pay that much in fees. So I have not seen a variable annuity that I would recommend to a client. They may be out there, and I've seen a bunch of them. I've never seen one. So I would encourage you, if you think an annuity might have a place in your world, think fixed annuities first, because they look a lot like a CD product that you're very familiar with. Think indexed annuities second, because they're usually low or no fee, and they have characteristics you're familiar with. And then third and fourth, variable annuities and immediate annuities. They're very specific and probably, I'll say this loosely, not a recommendation for you, but they're probably not suitable for the vast number of people who are listening to this podcast.
So of those four types, David, and I know that we went definitely in depth on all four of them, but between the immediate, the fixed, the variable, and the fixed indexed, I know I went out of order there, but between those four, do you use, I know that you said that variable one is not used for a whole lot of clients or not a great fit for a whole lot of people, but do you use all four in your practice? Are there certain ones that tend to be a better fit for your specific clientele of folks preparing for retirement?
Yeah, so I've never used a variable annuity. I've gotten people out of existing variable annuities when it made sense. I've only used an immediate annuity three times, not very often. But indexed annuities I use some, and fixed annuities I use mostly as a bond alternative since bond rates are so low right now. Both of these, fixed and indexed annuities, can be good bond alternatives. And then if somebody has a CD that's maturing, it's really easy just to shop the universe of fixed annuity product and say, well, we're making a rate decision here. Let's see what's out there where we can get you the best rate for the shortest period of time. So I use those two, but probably I don't know this answer, but I'll bet less than 50% of my clients have some type of annuity in their portfolio. But the ones that do, they love them, because they protect their downside and allow them to sleep better at night. And those are the types of people that maybe have trouble sleeping at night when the stock market trades down 20 or 30% over a couple of months. So it's really about building the type of portfolio that helps you accomplish your goals and understanding how the features work to benefit you.
Understanding, I think, is maybe the key word for today's episode. Several examples throughout how you can tell if you just understand what's going on a little bit better, you're going to be in a much better position to have a great financial plan. But you just have to take the time and the energy or ask the questions and I need to get this all straightened out in my financial plan, in my portfolio. How does it work, David? If you ask that question, David can walk you through the answers and help put the conversation about annuities into perspective of the rest of your financial plan. Because there's one thing we've definitely learned, the annuity isn't the plan. And if that's how it's being sold to you, that's a big problem. But it also isn't the boogeyman either. So we don't have to be scared of that investment as well or of that financial product too. Let's use it like a tool and use it where it's appropriately, and you'll have a great plan in place. So if you've got any questions about that for David, you can pick up the phone, give him a call at 913-317-1414. That's 913-317-1414. And always online at coveryourassetskc.com. David, thanks for the help on today's show. Enjoyed the conversation with you, and we'll do it again next time.
I look forward to it, Walter. Thanks.
Right, sounds good. That's David Dickens. I'm Walter Storholt. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time on the Cover Your Assets KC podcast. Investment advisory services offered through Brookstone Capital Management, LLC, BCM, a registered investment advisor. BCM and KC Financial Advisors are independent of each other.